The scripture reading for this afternoon is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Brethren, if a man is overtaken any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
Good evening. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 2. There we go. Genesis, chapter 2. We're going to begin there in a moment. I trust that you all had a wonderful, blessed afternoon. I talked to some of you as you're on your way in. You told me that you got a nap. And that's typically what we do as children of God on Sunday afternoons. We get a nap. Now, back home where we are assembling, we're not as further along in our assemblies as you all here are at Brown Street. Consider yourself very blessed and very fortunate to have the opportunity to come together as God's children on Sunday night. So this is reinstating an experience that I haven't been a part of in over a year, and I'm so thankful to be here and to be amongst God's children to assemble not just this morning, but to come back together and be encouraged by you all tonight. And I trust that you all will be encouraged by the presentation this evening. So we look at the lesson of David and Bathsheba and the role that the prophet Nathan played in David's life. And not just Nathan's influence during that whole mess, that sin that David was engaged in, not just Nathan's influence during that time, but the influence that Nathan had prior to David's sin and even after, as David aged and grew wiser and became more mature. There's a story about three guys, and they're stranded on a desert island. And they come across a magic lamp. And you know what happens when you rub a magic lamp, right? A genie comes out. So a genie comes out and says, well, I can't grant three wishes to every one of you, but I can grant three wishes total. So you each get one wish. So the first guy says, well, I've missed my family, I've missed my children, I've missed my wife, I wish to go back home. And poof, the genie grants the wish. The second guy says, well, I've never been to Europe, I love to see all the landmarks and see the sights, I wish to go to Europe. Genie grants his wish. Well, the third guy, he's sitting over into the sand, he's got his hands to his face, and the genie says, what's wrong? The third guy says, I'm really lonely. I wish my friends were here. Social interaction, that's what we need. There's been study after study after study that have shown that with social interaction with people in our lives, we are healthier because of that. We have a brighter outlook on life when we're around people. There's less stress in our life when we surround ourselves with good people. Less likely to suffer from depression. We have a higher self-esteem of ourselves. And all those studies, what they're doing is they're confirming what God has said all along. That we're made to do life with other people. We're made to do life not by ourselves, but with others. We get to Genesis chapter 2. Your Bibles are there. Genesis chapter 2. Look with me in verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Okay, let's jump down to verse 20. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 19 as well. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. You may think to yourself, well, was God not aware that man needed another person? Did God make a mistake? And I would suggest to you that he wanted Adam to realize that he could not do life by himself, that he needed help. He needed someone there by his side. Now, I think the lesson is much broader than husband and wife, male and female. The lesson behind this, I believe, is that we all need somebody to connect with. We need people in our lives. We need strong people in our lives. We need people in our lives who are going to hold us accountable. And that's where I want to go with this tonight. Take it a step further and ask the question, have you ever had someone tell you something that you did not want to hear, but you needed to hear what they had to say? You were better off because of what they told you, but it made you a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe it set you back on your heels a little bit, but you needed to hear it. And that's where we arrive at 2 Samuel chapter 12. David, as we learned this morning, was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean David was perfect. As we know from the story, David sinned. But David here, he's king of Israel. He's got everything that he could ever imagine. We look at verse 1 of chapter 11. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now that is mistake number one with David, that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. As you continue reading in chapter 11, he sees Bathsheba bathing. He lusts after Bathsheba. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba's not his wife. She's the wife of Uriah. He's deceitful. And eventually Uriah dies. And the child who was conceived with Bathsheba dies. And David's life is a mess. We've heard the phrase, the cover-up is worse than the crime. His cover-up was wicked, and it was evil. So in David's darkest hour, God sends him a prophet. Sends him the prophet Nathan to tell David what he needed to hear. Let's pick up reading there in chapter 12. We referenced it this morning. We looked at verse 13 in particular. But let's go ahead and set the scene and begin there in 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man and said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Now watch what Nathan says in verse 7. You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Let's stop there for a moment. Think about what. Does Nathan realize who he's talking to? Did Nathan just say what we think he said, to the king of Israel? But Nathan is just getting warmed up. Verse 8, I give you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because of this, by this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. You know, imagine being in David's position here. This man is telling you that you are that man in the parable. You are the rich man in the parable. You are responsible for this horrific deed. How would you respond? Would you respond in the same way? David very easily could have said, do you realize who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the king of Israel. But David listened to Nathan. He allowed Nathan to correct him, to speak to him. And David accepted responsibility for his sin. David didn't pass the blame. He didn't dodge responsibility. He could have blamed Bathsheba. She shouldn't have been taking a bath. It's all her fault. But verse 13, I have sinned and I am guilty. Whether David realized it at that moment, he needed Nathan in his life. He needed to be confronted about his sins. He couldn't hide it from God. He could hide his sins from mankind, but he couldn't hide it from God. And all of us, in a way, are like King David. We've allowed pride to get in the way. We've made mistakes. We've deceived ourselves. Sometimes we can be just like King David. He became his own worst enemy. And we at times can be our own worst enemies as well. And what David needed was Nathan. And what we need in our lives is a Nathan. I look at this story and you read it over and over and over again, and you think about all the wickedness that David committed there in chapter 11. Maybe we need to give David a little bit more credit, because he allowed his Nathan to speak to him and speak to him candidly. And he confessed his faults. He realized what he did was wrong. As we learned this morning, David handled his sin in the correct manner. And so much emphasis is placed on David in this story, and rightfully so. For the remainder of our time this evening, I want us to focus on the qualities that we find in Nathan and ask the question, do you have a Nathan in your life? The first quality that we find in Nathan is that he spoke the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, speak the truth in love. And that's what Nathan did. Nathan opened up by sharing a parable with David. David would relate to that parable as a young shepherd boy. It hit home with David. It made Nathan special in his relationship with David. He spoke the truth in love, but he was also bold and courageous as well. He's talking to the king of Israel. You are the man with this problem. You are the man who did this wicked deed. It was also risky. Because David could have reacted differently. He could have killed Nathan. His anger could have flared up. Would he even listen and repent? Nathan had no way of knowing how David would react. He didn't show favoritism. Turn over a few pages to chapter 7. Nathan was straight up with David. Nathan told David exactly what he needed to hear. This wasn't the first time that they had a conversation. Nathan didn't just enter the room and said, "Hey, how you doing? Let me tell you about your problems." No, he had a relationship. He had established a bond with David. In fact, we read of one in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Look at the first three verses. "Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" You see, they had interaction, they had friendship, they had a relationship. And David says, "Well, it's not right that I dwell in this nice cedar home and God's presence stays in a tent." We know, as the story goes, that Solomon was the one to build the temple and that David could not, he did not, because he was a man of war. He was a man who shed blood. But we just read from this story that Nathan had a relationship with David. Nathan knew David, and David knew Nathan. He reminded David as well about the word of the Lord. Did you pick up what happened there in verse 7 of chapter 12? He knew that David was a man after God's own heart. But he rejected the word of God, he disobeyed, and he sinned. But Nathan tells him there in verse 7, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." Do you remember what the Lord has said to you, David? Do you remember what the Lord has done for you, David? Do you remember how far, David, God has brought you and will remain with you? He reminded David of the standard he was to follow. And that took courage on the part of David, or Nathan. He didn't water down the magnitude of what David had done. He conveyed the crimes of David very clearly. You know, Nathan was able to help David see his own wrongdoing by showing that he would not have tolerated such actions from anyone else. And he didn't abandon David afterwards. Look at verse 15. Nathan departed from his house. The conversation ends there. That particular conversation ends there. But their relationship doesn't end there. Pick up there in the same chapter, verse 24. "Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet." When that conversation ends at verse 15, Nathan doesn't say to David, "Well, this is the last time I'm going to talk to you. You've really made a mess of yourself, David." He remained loyal to the king. He was there on the birth of Solomon, and then later in David's life, in 1 Kings chapter 1. Let's turn there. Keep a bookmark there in 2 Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 1. David is aged at this point. He's advanced in age. What he does, he warns David that your throne is being threatened. Your son Adonijah is threatening to take your throne. He's got some people behind him and he's going to throw this big party. He's presumptuous that he's going to be the next king. And in verse 10, Adonijah, he intentionally does not invite Nathan because he knows that Nathan is a trusted resource for his father. And that what Nathan would tell him was that what you're doing is wrong. Your father would not approve of that. So he intentionally does not invite and include Nathan. So Nathan and Bathsheba, they work up a plan, and Solomon is anointed in verse 39. Nathan remained loyal to David. You know, when God first approaches Nathan in chapter 12, Nathan could have made excuses. He could have told God, well, how about you speak to David in a dream? How about you appear to him in a vision? Is there someone else more qualified? I may lose my life. Is this really the appropriate time for me to talk to David about this issue? But he went to David. He was a friend to David. And he told David exactly what he needed to hear. Because Nathan wanted the best for David. So he asked the question this evening, do you have a Nathan? Do you have a Nathan in your life? Do you have somebody in your life who's going to hold you accountable? To help you become the best Christian you could become. To help you become the best father, the best husband, the best wife, the best mother that you can be. Do you have somebody in your life who's challenging you and pushing you? Because if we don't have that type of person in our life, we can just coast. We can just put on autopilot and just coast through life. There's a story about Bill Wilson. He's the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, at this point in his life, he was 6 months sober. The story goes, he was in Akron, he was here in town, to close on a business deal. But the deal collapsed. He was depressed, and he was distressed. And he walked into the hotel lobby, and he heard laughter at a distance. He heard ice hitting the bottom of glasses. And he realized where those sounds were coming from. And they were coming from the hotel bar. He said, you know what? I've had a terrible day. I could really use a drink. Remember, he's been sober for 6 months. He sat down at the bar and he realized, I don't need a drink. I need another alcoholic. I need someone for me to talk to. Someone to tell me that what I'm about to do, I don't need to do. Isn't that way with life? We get tempted to sin. We find ourselves in a precarious situation. What we need to do is we need to pick up the phone and call another sinner. We need to pick up the phone and we need encouragement from our brothers and sisters to tell us that what we are about to do is not in our best interest. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, because we've got temptations at every corner. And what we don't need to do is sin. What we do need is someone to have our back, someone to help along the way, someone to say, don't do what you're about to do. You know, culture says, or society says, well, you can do this on your own. Think about the conversations that we have. We have a lot of trivial conversations. We talk about the weather. We talk about sports, we talk about politics, we talk about a lot of different things. Why don't we have those hard conversations? Because I think they absolutely scare us. They scare me. Perhaps they scare you. And when we have those hard conversations, when we get below the surface, that means we've got to come out of hiding. That makes us vulnerable. So do you have a Nathan? Someone you can open up to. They are brutally honest with you. Someone who's going to tell you what you don't want to hear, but that you need to hear what they have to say. Someone to challenge you. Someone to ask you tough questions in life. Appreciate so much the scripture reading from Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brethren, all of us should strive to be a Nathan for one another. Does anyone in Akron really know who you are? Or Norton, or Cuyahoga Falls, or Barberton, or North Canton? Any within your own communities, do people really know who you are? What about in the workplace? Do people know who you are? At school, do people know who you are? And what about here? Do you really know each other? You know, we think that we can get by in life. You know, we've got bumps and scratches and bruises, the hurts and the pains that we have. We think, well, I'm going to be okay. Brethren, we're made to do life with other people. We're made to do life with other people. And one of the often overlooked benefits of the local church is the practice of mutual correction that takes place within a local congregation. Because we are to love one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to genuinely care for one another. Because we all have the goal of reaching heaven. What a benefit that is to be a part of a local congregation. Maybe you already have a Nathan in your life. Do you listen and follow the wise counsel of the Nathan in your life? Or do we allow pride to get in the way? We must blanket ourselves with humility and honesty with our Nathan. If you've got a Nathan, husbands, is your wife your Nathan? To the wives here, is your Nathan your husband? About young people, you lean on your parents for that wisdom and guidance. What about amongst the brethren? Those who are older in the faith, when's the last time you wrapped your arm around a young person? Said, let me impart some wisdom on you. Let me share with you some of my experiences. You may be going through these same experiences right now. Let me tell you what I learned about some of the things that I went through. Most of you know new brother Jim Lee. You know, he'd been up here many times holding meetings and preaching for the congregation here. He passed away last February, unexpectedly. He was my mentor. He was my Nathan. And every time that I would have a Bible question, every time that I was faced with a challenge, Jim would be the first guy I would call. I'd pick up the phone, and I would call him. Now, anytime he had a question about technology or the computer, he'd pick up the phone and call me. But it's one of those things where you don't realize what you have until you lose it. And for the last year or so, I've told Nicole over and over and over, I wish Jim was here. So I could call him and pick his brain on this or pick his brain on that. Jim was a man who took this very, very seriously. He got into the lives of young men and young preachers and mentored them and taught them. He was my Nathan. I'm a big proponent of Titus chapter 2. The older men teaching the younger men. The older women teaching the younger women. Put that into action. Older men, older women, encourage the younger men and the younger women. Maybe your Nathan within the church here is someone who's in the same walk of life as you are. You both got kids in the same age range, the same season of life. And that's wonderful. But make sure you have a Nathan in your life. And you lean on that Nathan for encouragement and support. We need someone in our life who's going to ask some tough, challenging questions. And let me share with you 7 questions. They may make you a little uncomfortable. They would make me uncomfortable too if my Nathan asked me these questions. But have you spent time daily in scriptures and in prayer? We need to be asked that question. And we need to be asking others that question. Imagine how that would change the trajectory of your life if we knew that every week, maybe even every day, that someone was going to ask you that question. Have you studied your Bible? Have you gone to God in prayer? Because if we're not pushed, we tend to coast. Have you had any flirtatious or lustful attitudes, tempting thoughts, or exposed yourself to explicit materials which would not glorify God? Have you been completely above reproach in your financial dealings? Have you spent quality relationship time with your family and with your friends? There's so many things that we could be doing in life today that pull us away from our time with our family, that pull us away from our time with our brethren. Have you spent quality relationship time with your family, with your friends? Question number five, have you done your 100% best at your job and were your motives pure? Have you told any half-truths or outright lies, putting yourself in a better light to those around you? And did you share Jesus with anyone this week? Just imagine how your life would change if you had somebody asking you some tough questions, some challenging questions, and how you could change the trajectory of someone else's life if you asked them those tough, challenging questions as well. I would encourage you this evening, if you don't have a Nathan, allow someone to be your Nathan and choose wisely. Have somebody there for you, pushing you and challenging you. You know, I'm reminded of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22. Two greatest commandments. What are those two greatest commandments? Love God and love people. That's what it boils down to. Love God and love other people. Have a relationship with God and have relationships with other people. Because we were not meant to do life on our own. Let me give you an Old Testament example and the lesson will be yours. Exodus chapter 17. The Israelites are battling the Amalekites. You pick up there in verse 11. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Appreciate Brother Steve's prayer. He said, lift up their hands. That's what's going on here. They're lifting up Moses' hands because he couldn't do it by himself. Aaron and Hur had to help Moses. You know, so many of us, we can get tired in the battle of life. Our hands start to droop. Our hands start to fall. We need someone in our life to lift our hands up, to hold us up, to encourage us, because we can't do it on our own. What if you had a friend to help you out who cared about your life just as much as they cared about their own? Who looked out for you, who helped you, who walked with you. Because we can't handle everything on our own. I need people to look out for me, and you need people to look out for you. But the person we all need in our lives tonight is Jesus. Maybe Jesus isn't part of your life tonight. If you don't have a Nathan, well, you've got some time to figure that out. Who's going to be my Nathan? Who will I lean on to challenge me and to push me? And again, choose wisely. But if Jesus is not your friend tonight, if Jesus is not part of your life tonight, there's got to be a sense of urgency. You've got to make those changes in your life tonight. And this good church will help you make those changes even before you leave this evening. What is the condition of your heart? Is your heart right with God? We focused a lot on the heart this morning. I appreciate the song that's going to be sung here in a moment. Is your heart right with God? The plan of salvation is behind me. You've heard the word. Do you believe it? Repent of your sins. You make that decision in your heart to turn away from sin and turn toward God. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have your sins washed away in the watery graves of baptism. The water is ready. I assume that it's warm. Are you ready to have your sins washed away? And you can begin your walk with God tonight. Or perhaps you have done that. But you have some sin in your life. You have some things in your life that are not what they should be. This good church will pray for you and pray with you and be there for you as you restore your relationship with God. If there's anything on your heart tonight, we invite you to come forward as we stand to sing the song that our brother Mark has chosen.